BBC News with Jerry Smith. Iraqi Kurdish forces are reported to have recaptured a strategic border crossing with Syria from Islamic State militants. They launched a successful attack on the town of Rabia. Jim Muir reports from Erbil in northern Iraq.
The Kurdish offensive began at dawn with Peshmerga special forces advancing towards Rabia on several fronts. Resistance from the militants was stiff. It included at least 5 suicide car bombs, which took the lives of a number of elite Kurdish fighters. By nightfall, Kurdish officials said Rabia was firmly in their hands, although IS militants continued to hold out in just one building. Rabia is an important strategic position to hold. It controls the main border crossing on the highway between Mosul in northern Iraq and Aleppo in northern Syria.
British warplanes have launched their first airstrikes on IS targets in Iraq on Tuesday. Car bombs and mortar attacks have hit several districts in the Iraqi capital Baghdad, killing at least 25 people in mainly Shia areas. It's not yet known who carried out the attacks, but they come amid reports that IS fighters have got as close as 10 kilometres to Baghdad in recent days before being held back by Iraqi forces and tribal fighters backed by US airstrikes. The new government of Afghanistan has approved long-delayed security deals allowing US and NATO forces to remain in the country beyond the end of the year, when combat operations will end. The Taliban condemned the agreements. David Loyne reports from Kabul.
President Karzai's refusal to sign new security deals with the US and NATO soured his relations with the countries that bankroll his government in his closing months in office. His successor Ashraf Ghani said there should be no further delay, and he stood alongside his partner in the National Unity Government, Abdullah Abdullah, and their deputies as their new National Security Advisor, Hanif Atmar, signed the deals on only their second day in office.
You're listening to World News from the BBC. The new head of the United Nations Ebola Response Team has said that in order to combat the disease successfully, there needs to be significant progress within the next 60 days. Anthony Bambury said 70% of infected people need to be receiving treatment, and 70% of burials need to have taken place safely within that period. More than 3,000 people have died from the disease in West Africa. Oil prices have fallen sharply. Brent crude oil, one of the main international benchmarks, tumbled to its lowest level for more than 2 years. Here's our economics correspondent, Andrew Walker.
The price of oil has been undermined by the strength of the dollar, which in turn reflects the fact that the US economy is stronger than Europe's or Japan's. Because oil is priced in dollars, a rise in the US currency often pushes the price down. There's also ample supply of oil, and demand has been affected by a slowing Chinese economy. Back in June, the oil price surged due to concerns that the Islamic State might severely disrupt Iraq's key southern oil fields. It didn't happen, and since then the price has drifted downwards by almost $20 a barrel.
The Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi has indicated that his country may be ready to endorse a World Trade Organization agreement on facilitating trade that India has been blocking since July. Mr. Modi wants the agreement to include exemptions that allow India to stockpile and subsidize food for the poor. His comments follow a meeting with President Barack Obama at the Oval Office in Washington. After years of delays, Panama has inaugurated a museum designed by the world-renowned architect Frank Gehry, his first in Latin America. The Biomuseo has been built where the Panama Canal meets the Pacific Ocean and bears Gehry's trademark metallic curves and canopies. The museum's 8 galleries celebrate the history of the Central American isthmus as one of the world's richest ecosystems. BBC News.